Good evening, church, and welcome everyone to the Wednesday Bible study. As you all know, I'm just filling in for Brother Mike. He is on vacation, so I'm not trying to fill his shoes. I'm just temporarily filling in for him. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are thankful and we are grateful for this Wednesday evening Bible study. And it's always a pleasure to come together and on the same accord to study thy word and to use it in our daily lives. We pray, Father, that what we study here this evening will be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If my memory serves me correctly, I believe we stopped off at lesson 2. And we'll be looking at the lesson title, Be Strong. And we'll be looking at Deuteronomy 11, 7 through 8. Anyone who seriously studies the life and work of Moses will come to appreciate his courage and his stamina, as well as his meekness and humility. Being human, he also had weaknesses, which on one occasion he let get out of control, for which he paid dearly. From the scripture above, we find him admonishing his people not to give way to weakness that might hinder his efforts to gain the land of promise. Hearing God's message through Moses, both your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land, whether ye go to possess it. The Lord made clear the fact that the strength of Moses and his people was based upon keeping his commandments. When they failed to keep his commandment, they were losers. That principle has never changed. God's people must be controlled by his word. When Joshua became leader after Moses' death, he was warned to abide strictly by the law. As Joshua 1:8 shows, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua took seriously the charge God gave him, and he became one of Israel's greatest leaders. We read this unusual tribute to him in Joshua 24:31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Once he and Caleb were almost stoned, When 10 of the spies returned from viewing the land of promise and brought them with frightening tales about the land and the strong people who occupied it. But he and Caleb stood firmly on their faith in Israel's God. Let us now continue in our study of some of the many scriptures which admonish us to be strong, remembering that the strong are great only when they are right, and that they are right only when they obey God's law. The mighty Samson lost his strength when he violated his vow and lost his connection with God. The source of our strength. Next topic. When young David faced the towering Goliath, he did not fear the giant because he knew our source of strength. The giant did not know or regard. He said to Goliath, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." 1 Samuel 17:45. Then with one fling of the sling, he brought the enemy of Israel down. The people of God must never ever forget the source from which their strength comes. Here we have some passages of scripture that gives us the teaching of these scriptures. What I would like to do is to have everyone to open up their Bibles and let's take a look at Exodus 15:2. Exodus 15:2. What I would like to do is just to share with you my findings, and you can just feel free to just jump right in and add, you know, at any given point in time. We'll look at Exodus 15:2, and it reads, "The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him." This passage of scripture reminds us that when we sing songs or we pray, we must always give God the honor and the glory because he is the main source of all our needs. If anyone would like to add, you can feel free to do so.
Yeah. Oh.
Strength. He is the main source. I had the main source of all our needs, and as Brother Charles said, in some translations it might use the word strength. And salvation. Okay, very good. Okay. Okay, let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 33. Okay, that's 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 33. And it reads that God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. This passage of scripture teaches us that God's ways is perfect. His words is flawless. He is the only one who can take what is imperfect and make it complete and perfect. Anyone else have a different translation in terms of the words that was used in 2 Samuel 22:33? The Lord is thy strength and thy power. Okay. Okay, thank you, Brother Charles. And Sister Sharon? Okay. And oh, by the way, all of my passages of scripture came from the King James Version of the Bible. So, I'm sorry, I forgot to let you know that. Okay, let's move right along. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 11. That's 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 11. Okay, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 11, and it reads, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. I have here that this passage of scripture teaches us, and it reminds us that we're living in a world full of sin and the brokenness, and the only place that we can find strength is in our relationship with God. Okay? Okay, thank you, Brother Charles. Anyone else? Okay, let's look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 10. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 10. Okay, it reads, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither ye be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I have here that this passage of scripture teaches us that all good gifts come from above, and that we must share one with another, especially with the poor and those who have nothing, especially those who are less fortunate than we are. Anyone would like to add anything different? Okay, Brother Charles. Thank you, Brother Jerry. That is very good. You're absolutely right. God is always merciful. Some of the things that we have, he has blessed us tremendously. And Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, do we really, really deserve God's grace and His mercy? And it's every day that we wake up, it's a blessing, you know, to work on ourselves, you know, and our issues and problems sometimes that we might have. And sometimes we do take life for granted. So I appreciate your explanation, Brother Jerry, and thank you. Okay. I believe the next passage is Job chapter 12, verses 16. That's Job 12, 16. Okay, that's Job chapter 12, verses 16. Sure, go right ahead. Okay. Thank you, Brother Charles. Okay, very good. Okay, this passage of scripture teaches us that God is strong and always victorious because of His priceless wisdom and His awesome power. He knows the mind of the deceiver and the person who is being deceived. God cannot be mocked. We, as human beings, cannot fool God. He sees everything and He knows everything. Someone else would like to add? Feel free to do so. Okay. 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 Very good. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? For Jerry? Okay, good. Very good. Thank you. Okay, anyone else? Okay. The next passage is Psalms 27, verse 1. Psalms 27, verse 1. Anyone like to read that? Psalms 27, verse 1. Sure, go right ahead.
God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?
Okay, very good. Thank you, Brother Gilbert. Anyone have any comments before I make mine? Okay. Thank you, Jason. Okay, Psalms 27:1. Here I have that we must not trust in might or wealth or any other manifestation or our own strength to save us. We must put our faith in His perfect Son. Amen. Thank you, Charles. Okay. Let's look at Psalms chapter 46, verse 1. That's Psalms 46, 1. 46, verse 1. Okay, let's see, 46, verse 1. Okay, 46, verse 1. Would someone like to read that? Okay. Absolutely. Amen. Amen. It's our refuge and strength. Thank you, Denise. What was that, Brother Charles? Oh, okay. So you have to excuse me. I can't hear too well out of this right ear. And my wife has been on my case about getting hearing aids. So you have to excuse me sometime if I asked, you know, what did you say? So, okay, I have here that Psalms 118, 14. It teaches us that the Lord is the author and giver of our strength. Philippians 4:13 encourages us that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me and us. Okay, Brother Jerry?
Have you ever noticed that life, those who are always learning, always trying to figure out which way to go, who to talk to, what to talk about, never know how to get there?
Mm-hmm.
He
is our anchor, and he is the source of all our needs. You know, sometimes I think about, sometimes the attitude that I have about kind of depending on myself sometimes to try to figure things out, you know, and then it brings me right back to the good book. You know, it's here that he is the anchor. You know, he's our strength, and he's our source to all our needs. You're absolutely right, Brother Jerry. Brother Charles? Mm-hmm. Amen. Absolutely. He sure is. Okay. Let's look at Proverbs 24:10. Proverbs 24:10. Okay. Proverbs 24:10. Okay. Someone like to read that, or I can read it. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Proverbs teaches us here that if or after we become disheartened when troubles come our way, it proves that our faith in God is weak. You know, I don't know about anyone else. That is a challenge. You know, sometimes when troubles come our way, you know, it seems like, you know, you just can't see. Sometimes you might feel like there's, you know, no light at the end of the tunnel. You know, you might hear the train coming, and you hope you don't get hit by the train. You know, that's the way sometimes, you know, trouble comes. And Philippians 4:13 encourages us that, you know, no matter what, we can do all things through Christ Jesus, which means we can face all our troubles through Christ Jesus. Jan? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you're worrying.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just have to remember, you know, that God can bring us through everything, And then also the scripture, all things work together
for the good. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And you know, it's easy to trust God when things is going well in our life. But what about when we hit rock bottom? It's not easy. Sometimes it is a challenge. Yes, sir. And you know, we can't rely on ourselves sometimes to try to figure things out. You know, we do have to depend on God every day to direct our steps, our thoughts. You know, because He knows what we're thinking even before we think it. So, you know, who else really that have that capability and ability to know everything, you know. I think sometimes we just don't listen. Sometimes we fail to listen. God is always talking to us, you know. Sometimes we fail to listen. Sometimes we don't pay Him any attention until we maybe bump our heads up against the wall. And then that's when we call on Him. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Actually, that's when we really should count our blessings. You know, that Sister Jan emphasized that. All things do work together for the good to those that love the Lord and are called according to His will and His purpose. But you know, sometimes we can't see that, you know, especially people in the world. And it's really hard to convince someone that's a non-believer. And I even think sometimes that back in Old Testament times that it would have been easier to obey God because most of the people back there were able to be eyewitnesses to all the miracles that He performed. But even the children of Israel didn't want to obey Him when they was in the wilderness. I mean, after all He had did for each and every one of them. You know, Moses went down and brought them out of Egypt. And when they went in the wilderness, still didn't want to obey God.
Right.
They wanted to go back to be held in bondage. Yep. Mm-hmm. They liked that. They actually liked that better, didn't they? Than obey God. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, Brother Charles? I think about living in the South. I don't want to go back there. Yes, sir.
The danger of when everything is going well is that you take credit for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're not acknowledging God.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where the devil comes from.
Yes, because we know all good gifts come from above. Yes, sir. Okay, I believe that was the first bell. But gee, I didn't cover as much as I thought I were going to be able to cover. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, yep. Yeah, and I, you absolutely, yeah. And you know, you're absolutely right, because we all have to do a reality check, you know, from time to time. And as you emphasize that, all of our best blessings, you know, come from the good Lord. And sometimes we do take things for granted. Yes, sir. And you know what's interesting in Job's situation is, after losing everything that he had and all of the suffering and the pain and the agony that he went through, God reimbursed him for more than he had. So, yeah, you're absolutely right, Brother Jerry. Lord, take it. Absolutely. And you know, we just imagine, you know, some of the things that we go through every day, some of our struggles. We look back in Old Testament times. I mean, there were some people, families that really, really, I mean, I don't know if we would have passed the test. So, Job is a good example. And as you emphasize, he never cursed God. He never lost his faith.
You know,
but all
of them,
on foot? Was he on foot? Yes, sir. Yep. Sure did. Absolutely. Okay, church. Sometimes we can't always have it our way, can we? Okay, thanks, church, for listening. Okay. Are we going to have a song, or? Oh, I'm not going anywhere.
Mark 867, song of invitation. We'll sing 33. 867, Mark 867. And then 33 will be the song.
867.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is God on above. Hallelujah, the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of life, who has shown us our Savior and shattered us. Hallelujah, thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thy glory. Revive us again. Heart with thy love, may he so be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thy glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thy glory. Revive us again.
Okay. Once again, good evening, church. This evening, I want to just talk with you briefly about struggles. You know, Brother Gilbert reminded us in one of his Sunday morning sermons that we're living in a world gone wrong. So, if I may add, we are living in a world also that is full of sin. And it seems as if sin and evil is running rapid. You know, people are struggling and discouraged. And it seems that the leaders of our country is struggling to get back on track. You know, sometimes there are things in my life that I struggle with. I thank God that sin is not one of them. I believe that some people struggle because of sin. I want you to just think just for a second. You know, The truth of the whole matter is that our struggles is no comparison to the struggles that Christ Jesus had to face on a day-to-day basis. He faced a state of loneliness, agony, disappointment, denial, desertion, extreme mental and even emotional stress that caused him fear on fear. He didn't own anything. He had no place to lay his head. Can you just imagine what he must have felt like when he struggled to carry his own cross? What's even more compelling is what the Bible says in Philippians 2:8. It reads, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Can you just imagine what he was struggling with on the night that he was betrayed, knowing that what was going to happen to him? This is what he said in Luke chapter 22, verses 42 through 44. He said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And it reads, "There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it was great drops of blood falling down to the ground." What's even more compelling is, imagine how he struggled when they nailed him to the cross. Then imagine what he was feeling when he cried out these words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, most likely we all have read about many, many others in the Bible whose struggles was far greater than our struggles. And we just talked about Job. Can you just imagine how he struggled, suffered, after losing all that he had? But you see, Job remained faithful. As we discussed earlier, God returned back to him all that he had lost and more. What about Moses? Think about how he struggled with what God had commanded him to do. We know that Moses was lost for words. So God told him to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. Brother Charles and I discussed a few minutes ago. Just think about all of the children of Israel, how they struggled and suffered while they was being held under Egyptian bondage. We have the apostles. Christ Jesus gave them the most extraordinary command ever imaginable. They were told to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. We all know that the apostles faced all sorts of persecution. They all had many, many struggles. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, this is what Paul wrote. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So what I'd like to do is just to share a few Bible scriptures that will encourage us, help us with our struggles. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it reads, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting for nothing. In John 16:33, it reads, these things I have spoken unto you, that in ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And Joshua 1:9 reads, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. When it seems like we cannot go another day against our struggles, God will grant us renewed strength to keep pushing on. He is there for us even in our weakest moments, just as long as we let Him into our life. I know this was short, but I hope it was uplifting and inspiring. Hopefully, as we go back out into the world, we know that we have God in our corner. He is our rock. He is the source of all our strength and all our needs. At this time, we are going to offer the song of invitation, and it's just as it is. It's an invitation to anyone here tonight that might have any needs. At this time, if you do, please come forward and have a seat on the front row.
Almost persuaded now to believe. Thank you.